And Dad's going ahead and helping us learn that we've got this. We have no greater example than our Heavenly Father. And so when we come to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 down through 7, we find the work of our Heavenly Father and the examples that we can learn from Him through these verses. So Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 down through 7, as I read these, listen and look at the lessons that our Heavenly Father give to us. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As we look at this text, there are several things we see the Heavenly Father doing here that you and I can draw from as dads or as anybody who's a believer, that we ourselves might follow the pattern given to us by God. The first one I want you to see as we go down through these verses is in verse 4, and that is that our Father knows when the time is right. And a good dad is aware of what's going on in his family and what's happening around him, and he learns to look and watch for the right time to do the right thing. No matter what it may be, he's got to be sensitive to that. And certainly our Heavenly Father, when you look at verse 4 there, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, when the right time was come, our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son. So we draw from that lesson. We understand. In fact, when you look in the Gospels, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, you find that it was even part of the message of Christ. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus said, yes, my Heavenly Father knew that the time was come, that the right time was fulfilled. You and I, we look back in history and we look at the time of the Roman Empire and the time that Christ was born. And we look and we say, well, what was so unique about that time? Why was that the right time? What was perfect about that time instead of today or 100 years before then or 500 years after then? But you know what? I'm not the Heavenly Father. So sometimes we have to look to the leader, to the head of the household. We look to the Heavenly Father and we say, Lord, you knew. You knew when the fullness of the time was. And it was at that moment that you chose to send your only Son that He might suffer and die for the sins of all mankind. You know, that's true with all areas of life. Our Heavenly Father knows the right time. From birth to death, only God knows. Both joys and sorrows, only God knows. He is our Heavenly Father. And sometimes we have to just step back and say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thine. I may not understand all the dynamics, everything built within your decision, but Lord, I accept it because you are my Heavenly Father. Sometimes it happens even in our families, doesn't it? Certainly when we're young, we have to learn to say, yes, sir. You have to learn those times to just look at Dad and say, you're Dad, not me. Okay. And that carries over into our faith. There's those many times throughout our life when we have to step back and say, okay, Lord, you are the Heavenly Father. I am not. I don't know all things. I can't be everywhere all times, but you can, Lord. And so I leave it to you. You know when the time is right for whatever circumstance comes in our lives. God paid the price to do the right thing at the right time. He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He sent his Son, not for his sake, but for ours, that our sins might be paid for, that we ourselves might live, even though he himself would need to die. It's an amazing gift that God gave. But he knew when the right time was. As you come down into verse 5 in our text, the verse says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, our Father, our Heavenly Father, knows the right priorities. And that is something that dads have to learn to exercise and learn. What is the right priority? You see, not always can dad have exactly what he wants when he wants it, can he? Sometimes dad has to step aside and say, that's not the most important thing for the family. That's not the real priority for the family. So therefore, I must sacrifice that the whole might gain. And when we look in the text here, we find that God looks at all the need of his creation. And he says, what is the greatest priority? What is it that needs to be addressed? And verse 5 says that he sent his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he says the greatest need that mankind had was redemption. That's the greatest need. Now we can look in the world today, and you and I, we're not God, we're not the Heavenly Father, and we can watch the news and we can say, well, look at that need in the world today. You know, we take the globe and we spin it, and I'm not sure this thing will spin. Yeah, it does. But you look around the world and you might say to yourself, well, in this part of the world, the greatest need is food. Or maybe in this part of the world, the greatest need is recovery from some kind of a natural disaster. Or maybe in this part of the world, in our perception, we see and we think the greatest need is addressing an immigration issue or a persecution issue. And we, in our eyes, in our mind, we might say, that's the most important need. And God said, no, wait a minute. The greatest need that humankind has ever had and will ever have is redemption of their souls. Because whether they're rich or poor, whether they live in a place of natural disaster or not, whether they're struggling with their culture and their country and wanting to escape to another, no matter what, every one of them has an eternal living soul. And God says the greatest and highest priority is the redemption of that soul, because that is eternal. It is the one thing that we have that we can take with us. John can't take that level. He carries in his pocket. He can't take that to heaven with him. Sorry, John. My pocket knife that every single day I get up and I put in my pocket, and when I don't, I make my wife search until she finds it. No, I don't make her do that. We both search till we find it. Can't take these world's possessions and world's philosophies and world's objectives. These things will all stay here when we go. This morning, as we were studying in the Bible Hour, we're studying about Solomon and what he wrote in Ecclesiastes, of how he searched and he searched for the meaning of life. He searched in all the pleasures of this world, and he said it was just vexation of spirit and soul. He searched in all the possessions that could be had, all the wealth, and he said it just brought him frustration and vexation. He searched all the wisdom and knowledge, all the philosophy that he could contain, and he said it just brought vexation of spirit. And in the end, he said, really, the most important thing was that I know and obey God. And so when we look in this text, we see that our Heavenly Father, he practices what he preaches. And he sought out what was the greatest need, what was the greatest priority. And he says that priority was the redemption of the soul of humankind.
And I challenge you this morning. Maybe you came to church because your dad said, boy, I'd love to have you come to church with me today. Or maybe you just came to church today because the Spirit of God moved you to be here. But if you yourself have not come to the place where God has saved your soul by you reaching out and accepting His sacrifice of Christ, then make that today your priority. Make sure that you come to Christ for salvation, that you yourself might be redeemed. We as dads, we learn something from this. You know, God could have chosen any myriad of things to focus His attention upon. But when the fullness of time was come, He looked out and the greatest priority was the redemption of the souls of mankind. Dad, you have no greater responsibility than to minister to the souls of your children. You are a dad, and God has entrusted to you that precious human being for the number of years that you will have them, and they are so fleeting. But what you invest in their spiritual well-being is far greater than any other thing. You can teach them how to make money. You can teach them how to hit a ball. You can teach them how to drive a car or how to enjoy adventure. But all those things are fleeting. The soul is eternal. That is the highest priority. As we come down in our text, we see that He knew when the time was right, and our Heavenly Father knew what the greatest priority was. And as we come down to verse 6, we find that our Heavenly Father knew what the greatest gift was that we needed. Look at what He goes on to say in verse 6. And because ye are sons or children of God, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So He looked down from heaven and, you know, He knew the time of the fullness of time was come, and the greatest need was the redemption of souls. And He said, when those souls are redeemed, what's the most important thing? What is the greatest gift I can give that believer? Can I give them wealth? Because certainly God could have given every one of us wealth. The moment we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, He could have given us the ability to lay golden eggs. It could have been that each and every morning you got up and you harvested golden eggs all through the house, all the believer children in your house. People would be having kids like crazy, wouldn't they? Gathering up golden eggs. God could have done that. He's God. He spoke into existence the universe and all things therein. He could have made it so that our hair, that after it fell out, it turned into diamonds. I'd be rich. He could have made us wealthy. He said, that's not the greatest gift I can give you. We talked about it in the Bible Hour. Some of the suicides that have been on the news lately were very, very wealthy, wealthy, successful people. But it didn't make them happy. Didn't make them satisfied. So unsatisfied that they took their own lives. What did God say we needed as believers? He said, you know what you need? You need my Spirit in you. He said, that's what you need. You need my Spirit in you. You know, the amazing thing, the Bible teaches us that the very presence of the Holy Spirit in us is the Comforter. And I love that about God calling the Spirit within us, the Comforter. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Because I want you to see where Christ talks about this. Because I want you to understand, it's not that God doesn't understand that there are struggles in this world. He does. There's always been struggles. In fact, Jesus Christ said, the poor you will have with you always. It's not that God is blind or ignorant to all the social causes of the world. He knows about them all. But He says, my children, what my children need, They need the presence of my Spirit within their heart and soul. They need the Comforter. John chapter 14. Listen as I read to you verse 16. Christ says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So our Heavenly Father, he looked down from above and he said, My children need a gift that will be with them everywhere at all times and will make a difference in their lives. He says, I'm going to give them my Spirit within them. I remember when I was about 13 years old, Christmas. I got up at Christmas and I came down to the Christmas tree, and my dad had left a card under the Christmas tree, and in it just simply said, Tim, go out to the garage. And so I've never had gotten anything like that ever before. In my entire childhood, it told me to go to the garage. I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I go out to the garage, and there's a snowmobile. Now, it wasn't for me. It was for the whole family, but he knew who's really going to use it the most. 13-year-old boy. So I go out there. It's a used snowmobile, but for me, this is amazing. And I go out and we get it started and I run it through the fields because I lived on an old dairy farm and rode it. It was a great family gift. Does anybody know where that snowmobile is today? I don't. It's melted and made into baby sippy cups or something. Who knows? I don't know where it is today. It was a great gift. But it was a fleeting gift. You know, sometimes we need to understand that what God gives to us is so much more. So much more than just the tangible. He gives to us the indwelling Spirit of God. That each and every one of us that are the children of God, we might reach out to Him and He comforts and ministers to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our soul. I want to read to you another verse in relation to this. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Because I want you to see how that the Spirit of God completes that circle of relationship between the Heavenly Father and us. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, verses 14. I need to get to Romans here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. As you and I look into this text, we understand that God is connecting us to himself with his very presence within us. You and I, the children of God, who have received Christ as our Savior, God looks down and he says, it's the fullness of time, it's the perfect time for Christ to come and bring redemption to the world. And those who are redeemed, you need my Spirit within you, that you might be guided and comforted, that I might bring to your remembrance the things you've learned of me, that I might bear witness within your soul that we are connected to God. And that should be every part of our lives, every part of our lives. No matter what we do and no matter where we go, we must always remember that what we say and what we do the Spirit of God is with us. He's there. Our Heavenly Father, the example of what a father should be, knowing the right time, setting the right priorities, giving the right gifts. And then the last one I want you to see, if you'll go back with me to our text in Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 7 with me. It says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So as we look at this text, he reminds us that we are more than servants. Now, we have the heart of a servant, but we're more than a servant. We desire to serve, but we are sons. We are sons and daughters of God. Dad, I want to remind you that your wife, a daughter of God, makes her a princess. Treat her like a princess. Amen? It's not always, you know, ladies, your husband, a joint heir with Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, makes him a prince. And so you want to treat him like a prince. You know, our Heavenly Father sets this up so that we understand that we are His precious children, drawn together to honor Him and to live a life that glorifies Him. That's the most important thing. As we go about our lives, whatever it may be that we do, the most important thing is for us to remember we are part of the family. We are part of the family of God. And what we say and what we do and where we go reflects on the family of God. When I was growing up, every once in a while, Dad would remind me who I was. You know, you are a tailor. Now, that meant a very different thing in my household as a child than my parents' household. My dad was a heavy drinker. He was a professional boxer when he was younger. He's a construction foreman. It meant you had to be seriously tough. That's what it meant. So don't go whining, don't go belly aching, don't go quitting. There were a myriad of rules connected to that. But as kids, we knew we represented that household. So you do right, you man up, you get it done. Now, my kids, when they were growing up, there was some of that, but we were Christians. So it brought in a whole new spectrum. Don't forget, we're family. I would tell Josh and Joy, don't ever, ever let somebody pit you against each other. You're brother and sister. You'll be brother and sister long after those friends are gone. You're brother and sister. But remember, we're Christians. So what we say and what we do, while we are the Taylor family, we are Christians. Now, every once in a while, you talk to pastors and they'll say, "Oh, my poor kids, they were PKs, preacher's kids." I never used to say to my kids, "Now, don't forget, you're the pastor's kid, so you have to..." Didn't matter to me that they were the pastor's kid. They're the Heavenly Father's kid. That's what I told them. Because they carry that with them now. Now, you know, Josh lives outside of Washington, D.C., and he is still a son of the Heavenly Father. Nobody cares that he's a PK. But he should care that he's a son of the Heavenly Father. Joy raising up those five little, those five little grandkids. Five little grand boys. They are cuties. This week, Sandra Jo and I are going on vacation, and we're going to be with all our children, and we're going to have a great week. Gather them all together. And as as important as that is to us as a family, it's more important to Sandy and I that our kids know and love the Lord. That's what it's about. That will live past me, past their parents. That faith lives on eternally. God knows, our Heavenly Father knows when the time is right. When the fullness of time has come in our lives of whatever's going on, God knows the right time. He sets a priority, and we ourselves should learn that as fathers, mothers. He also is one who knows the greatest gifts that are needed. Can't be all about me. What is the most important thing? And he knows family is important. God knows family is important. Dad's family is important. Your boss will tell you your job is important, and it has importance, but not more important than your family. Other people might tell you sports is the most important thing, you know, rah, rah, rah. And sports are fun and they're great, but they're passing. Family. 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 That is important. Let's bow our heads. As we come to the end of the service, as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I ask you today, do you know the Lord? The greatest priority, as God looked down from heaven above, is that the souls of mankind would be redeemed. Are you part of the redeemed? Have you come to Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? If not, then please don't leave this place today without calling upon the Savior to come into your heart and into your soul. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of this service, as we go into this invitation time, I do pray that your Holy Spirit that dwells within each of your believer children, I pray that Spirit would stir our souls. Help us to follow the example set by you. And Lord, if there be one person here that's not called upon you, they're not born again, they've never received you as their Savior, then Lord, I pray that this morning they would sense the beckoning of your Spirit, the wooing of your Spirit, drawing them to you, that today would be the day of redemption for them. We thank you, Lord. We look for you to move in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.